Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
What is unique about prophecies? Prophecies carry inbuilt capacity for fulfillment. Inbuilt capacity for fulfillment. I remember in college, I learned about the capacitance of the capacitor. That is the ability of a capacitor to discharge what has been embedded in it. Now, let's come down to what we may understand. If you have a phone, especially in this pandemic season, there are a lot of social media is coming in, videos, messages. If your phone has a small memory, some of these things will not even open or may not come in. And you may be wondering why I cannot see. Somebody send you a message. Have you seen what I send you? So you can't download. The video is not good. Send it again. You send it again. Others are opening it, but you can't open it. You wonder what happened. The capacity of your phone is small. Praise the Lord. But if you carry a phone that has like 10 terabytes, I'm not sure anybody has that kind of space, because I don't know what you're going to be doing with 10 terabytes when you are not a movie station. But let's say you have that kind of 10 terabytes. If the whole church kept sending videos to you, you'll be opening it. Why? Because your phone has the capacity. But someone that just has 500 megabytes, or you know, maybe 200 megabytes or 100 megabytes, may hardly be able to open it. Now, see God as a God that has unlimited terabytes. Praise the Lord. He has the capacity. Anything God says, he has the capacity to bring it to pass. So, prophecies carry inbuilt capacity for fulfillment, because it's the word of God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 35, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Before then, it has never been heard in the history of humanity that somebody will give birth without the intercourse between a man and a woman. So for Mary to be conceived, it was a mystery. But it was a prophetic word, and it's answered that way. I believe that was the only time it ever happened. I'm not sure. Even if somebody testified that, oh, as soon as I attend the service, I got pregnant, there must have been something between your husband and you. Praise the Lord. That was the only time, because it was a prophetic word. Praise the Lord. It was a prophetic word. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, every prophetic word that is being said and released concerning you will come to pass. All the prophetic word for the year will answer in your life. There is no doubt the breaking limit has answered innumerously in this assembly. But it's not over until it is over. Praise the Lord. Until we begin to declare the turning point in Shiloh, we are still breaking limits. So expect more breaking limit testimonies. Why? Because God speaks according to what he will do and what he can do. There is a difference between what you can do and what you want to do. Praise the Lord. I may will, I may wish to do something for you, but I may not have the capacity. If you come to me and ask for something that I don't have the capacity to give, all I will tell you, oh, I wish I had this, I would have given to you, but I don't. Well, whenever it comes, I will let you know, or better still, pray for you. But God is not like that. God has it, God is willing, and God can do it. Praise the Lord. At times, I may wait to do something, but I cannot do it. Praise the Lord. Some of the things we see in church, that we do in church, a lot of people have the gift. At times, I wish I can play the keyboard so as to just begin to play, but I can't. But God does not only will, he can. Praise the Lord. Because he can do all things. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, what you think is impossible will turn to possibility for you. In the name of Jesus. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 17 to 18, that in blessing I will bless thee, talking to Abraham, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God said that to Abraham, and he brought it to pass, because he can do it. Everything God said concerning you will come to pass this month. Before this year is over, it will come to pass for you. And it's important for us to also know about prophecy that God speaks according to his capacity, not our weakness. Not according to our weakness. So don't look down on yourself. Don't look down. Don't think, well, I don't think how I can really break limits since I don't have education, since I don't have a legal document to work in this country, since I'm not married, I don't know how this thing will be. No! God is not looking at your weakness. God is not looking at your limitations. When God speaks, he speaks according to what he can do. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, this morning, every limitation will be broken. In the name of Jesus. Remember the story of the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God." So the king always depends on that man for information, for advice, for anything. The king is a very reliable. And the truth is, the man knows a lot of things. He can calculate, he can permutate, he can forecast, he can do. And his word has never failed. But what he didn't know is that he is limited in his capacity. Shout hallelujah. He never knew that he's an unlimited God. So he was looking beyond his own limitation that no. This one, there's no elasticity again. We cannot go beyond this. We have reached the limit of the elasticity. There's no linear expansivity again. We cannot. You know, the man was just blowing grammar like my friend, Pastor Jude, we always charge us up, you know. Shout hallelujah. But the prophet said, by this time tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the doctor said concerning you. I decree the prophecy is coming to pass for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. So how do we make prophecy fulfilled? We receive the prophecy. That's the first thing. You receive the prophecy. And when you receive the prophecy, there are 3 things that will show that you receive the prophecy. And 3 things will begin to happen. Number one, it will give you grace for steadfastness in stewardship. When you receive the reason why prophecies don't answer for people is that they get discouraged so quickly. They say we should be serving God. I have served God. I have brought souls. I have done this and nothing has happened. Satan will want to discourage you. But when you receive the prophetic word truly, you will have the grace to keep on going. Somebody called me and said, "Pastor, I don't know what is happening. Every time I invite people to church, they come and they go away. I don't know what's happening." I said, "That's the devil that is trying to discourage you." I said, "Don't worry about them coming and going away. You just keep doing it. Don't let the devil discourage you. You have done your own part. Allow God to do his own part." Praise the Lord. So don't let the enemy tell you otherwise that, "Oh, this thing is not working." Receive it. Then receive the grace to be steadfast. And don't give up in it. Keep at it. That's what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The truth is, your labor today can be rewarded today, can be rewarded tomorrow, can be rewarded in several years to come. And it can continue to enjoy the reward. Just like when you invest. Nobody wants to invest and tomorrow you are asking for your dividends. It doesn't even make sense. So you are investing, you put a time lag on it. Okay, the maturity date. especially when you don't need it as at now. You put a longer maturity date. You just begin to look at your investment. You are just smiling. Praise the Lord. This thing is growing. Praise God. It's growing. Amen. Like some of you are doing. Amen. Or maybe some of us are doing. Praise the Lord. God is good. So it's an investment. So don't be discouraged. When you look at your investment and it drop a little bit, you don't care. I mean, you look at it over the years. Especially when you receive your statement, you see, oh, in 6 months, maybe minus 10%. But over 5-10 years, 23%. So you don't really care about the 6 months. The 6 months is just, you know, everything will still adjust again and it will go. So don't let the devil discourage you about what is happening right now. God has a greater plan, better plan, superior plan for you. Shout amen if you believe that. So you receive grace, grace, grace. Every prophetic word received gives us grace for steadfastness in stewardship. So keep on serving the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. As long as I live, I serve Christ. Even if I die, it's gain because I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Anybody wants to go to heaven here? Yes, we are going to heaven. Amen. Don't let any devil tell you that you are not going to heaven, you are going to hell. Those are the agents of the devil, sending all manner of stuff, you know, that when you are serving God in one way, you are not going to heaven. You are going to heaven as long as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are serving him with your heart. You are serving him in truth. You are serving him in holiness and righteousness. Heaven is our place. Heaven is our home. Shout hallelujah. Number two, the proof of receiving the prophecy is that it keeps the zeal of God burning in our hearts. As in David, look at all the writings of David. Oh, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. Isaiah 69:9. In Psalm 119 verse 46, I will speak of thy testimony all before kings and will not be ashamed. That's zeal. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. That's zeal. Psalm 84 verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. My soul longeth for you, fainteth on the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's zeal. So every prophetic word received, keep the zeal of God burning in our heart. That zeal of God has consumed me. I pray the zeal of God will consume somebody this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. So that's the proof we receive the prophecy. But in order to get a prophecy fulfilled, we must praise God into fulfillment of prophecy. So it's not limited. It doesn't stop at receiving it. You must go ahead and begin to praise God for his word. In the midweek teaching series, we said we praise God for his word. You praise God for the prophetic word. Look at the case study we're looking at this morning, Ezekiah. An example of prophecy fulfilled through praise. Ezekiah had a verdict of death passed upon his life, which was averted in response to his cry, after which God added 15 more years to him. Now, Isaiah the prophet was sent to him. And believe me, anytime you see Isaiah, it's like you have seen God. Anything that man says, you just take it. If it's good news, begin to rejoice. If it is the other way, you have to cry to God like Ezekiah did. You can't even tell him. You don't just let him go and begin to talk to God directly. And that was what Ezekiah did. He didn't even bother him. Thank you, sir. Can you go? Because I need to fight this battle. And he fought, and the Lord reverted that debt. That is why somebody here under the sound of my voice will be exempted from evil. He cried unto God, but he didn't stop at crying to God. When you read that chapter in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18 to 20, after he cried to God, he began to sing his song. He said, Lord, only the living can praise you, you know. The dead cannot praise you. Only the living can praise you as I do this day. And as he began to praise and sing his song, the prophecies were fulfilled. So 15 years was added to him. Praise the Lord. So when God says 18, don't just take it and receive it and do nothing. Begin to praise God for it. Even when it looks as if this thing is getting to a deadline, it's not going to happen. Keep praising God. God knows how to make it happen. Remember, a day before God is like how many years? 1,000 years. Is it 10,000? 1,000. So that's one day. So if God, and 10,000 years is like a day before God. So don't look at it and say, well, the year is just about a month to be over. I don't think this thing takes 6 months. You are the one that said it. So you are, most times, a man can be limited by the word of his mouth. Don't worry about what the policy says. Don't worry about what the government program says. Don't worry about it. Just hold on to the word of God. If they say this thing takes 6 months, and God said, I will do this thing this year, forget about that 6 months. Just hold on to God. The way God is going to do it, you don't know. God can turn everything. Look at this pandemic. This pandemic is for certain reasons. Praise the Lord. There are so many people God has changed their stories, even in this pandemic. And there are so many stories that will still be changed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So he praised God, and God changed that story. This morning, as you praise God, all Goliaths will die. Amen. Just like that prophetic song that the choir gave us this morning. Every barrier on your path will fall down, die. Amen. The wall of Jericho will crush down. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And you'll be exempted from all evil. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's see what God has in store for us as the exemption package this morning. Number one, we must understand that by redemption, we are not permitted to suffer what the world around us suffers. By redemption. What is redemption? Redemption simply means God created us. He has good plan for us to live and enjoy good health, blessings. But sin came and Satan has access to us. Now, God sent his only son, Jesus, to buy us back with his precious blood. And the sacrificial offering he did on the cross of Calvary. That's simply redemption. So you are redeemed. You are no longer under the power of sin and death. You are under the power of life and godliness. Praise the Lord. So that's what redemption has. And when you are redeemed, whatever is happening in the world, in this physical world, you are not permitted to suffer it. By the power of redemption. Even though we are on the earth, we are in this body, but the real you is a spirit. So the real you is not on this earth. So you are connected to divine power. You are connected to divine source. That's the difference between you and someone who is not born again. Someone who is not redeemed, who is not born again. The spirit is still dead. It's still in this world. But your own spirit is revived, is alive, is in God, and God is in you. So anything that cannot affect God cannot affect you. Anything that cannot kill God cannot kill you. That's what redemption offers. And that was exactly what happened to the Israelites when they were in Egypt. There were a lot of things that happened to the Egyptians, but they were distinguished, they were differentiated, they were separated, they were exempted. So that is what we're talking about when we talk about exemption. You are distinguished from others. You are differentiated from others. You are separated from others. You are a classified product. Shout hallelujah. We saw in Egypt that there was a swarm of flies in Exodus chapter 8 verse 20 to 24. And that means something that is really bad. Because everywhere you see flies, it means there is a stench or something that is disgusting. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, if they just have that sense of smell that they can just go to anywhere that is, you know, that there is a stench. So that was what happened. So this connotes ugly situation in somebody's life. This connotes a situation that is not pleasant. But the same way God exempted the Israelite from every unpleasant situation, this morning God will exempt you. Maybe there's a problem at work and it's not really your fault, but you were brought into the case and the situation is going the negative way for everyone. I decree in the name of Jesus, by this service of exemption, you'll be exempted. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And number two, we saw the death of cattle, which implies collapse of businesses and careers. And the truth is, in this pandemic, there had been a lot of business crashes and career and the joblessness and everything. But I have good news for you. If you have lost your job because of the pandemic or your business, there shall be restoration for you. That's also another side of exemption. So exemption is not only limited to it will not happen. Exemption also means even if it has happened, there will be restoration. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus for everyone who lost jobs, lost careers, lost businesses, or downgraded in the pandemic because of this covenant day of exemption, there will be restoration for you. Hear the word of God for you in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. He said, but this is the people robbed and spoiled. You were robbed of your blessings. You were spoiled. He said, they were all of them hid in prison houses. And he said, none say restore. But I've come in the name of Jesus as an agent of restoration under this liberation mandate. I decree restoration of your businesses. Restoration of your career. In the name of Jesus. Exemption. And I decree in the name of Jesus, henceforth, your businesses are exempted. Your career exempted. When others are selling off, you will be buying more. In the name of Jesus. And of course, we saw in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 9, verse 18 to 26, we saw hails and tempests mingled with fire. That looked to me very disastrous. If it's in our own day, I think they're going to give it a name, tornadoes, you know, or something, hurricane, Isahis, or something like that. They're going to put it like that because it's so terrible. Hails and tempests mingled with fire. And this connotes devastation and destruction. You see, anywhere hurricane, land, or any of these storm land, there's always destruction. But I decree in the name of Jesus for you, your own life will be distinguished. You will be exempted in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. There was a testimony in Canaan land this morning. You know, somebody shared the testimony that during the riots in Nigeria, the court where she serves was affected. They went there and burned everything. But the husband believed and strengthened her that there shall be no loss. And her own office was just intact. In spite that the whole place was set ablaze, her courtroom, she was a judge, her courtroom was preserved, her office, everything preserved. Exemption. Exemption. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. You only see with your eyes, no evil shall come near you. Yeah. I'm sure somebody has not forgotten Psalm 91, because the truth is, when you relax a little bit, you just forget what has brought you there. I know a number of people have forgotten that. Don't forget it, though. Don't put it aside. Revisit that Psalm 91 again. If you cannot declare it in the morning, declare it in the night. Read it with your family. That's our covenant preservation. Praise the Lord. And we also saw gross darkness, which connotes frustration and stagnation and despair in Exodus chapter 10, verse 21 to 23. By decreeing the name of Jesus, by the light of the word of God coming your way this morning, every frustration turns to celebration. Every stagnation turns to advancement. Every despair situation turns to progress for you. In the name of Jesus. And finally, we saw the plague of sudden death. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 4 to 7, and Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. And the truth is, so many people went with the COVID. And many are still dying right now. But I want you to be very strengthened. I don't want you to be afraid because you have a covenant of exemption. Covenant of exemption. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, the last death you saw will be the last one ever. If there is anyone here who lost somebody, maybe somebody close to you or somebody around you, I decree that will be the last one ever. I decree in the name of Jesus, by this covenant of exemption, you are exempted from every plague of death. Your family, immediate and extended, are exempted from every plague of death. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree this second wave of COVID-19 will be minus you and your entire household. In the mighty name of Jesus, Don't be afraid. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Somebody said, but Pastor, if you are not afraid, even you are wearing mask. That's just common sense. Wearing mask is just common sense. For instance, if you step out and it's 10 degrees below freezing, and you step out without jacket, what do you do? You rush back in and you do what? You wear your jacket. As simple as that. Praise the Lord. Cold does not expect whether you have faith or you don't have faith. So there is a place for fact. There is a place for faith. Praise the Lord. So nobody goes out in the winter and say, I'm a man of faith. You can just cross into your car and enter into your house, but to walk 1 hour on the street and 30 minutes on the street when it is freezing and you say you are a man of faith, even God will blame you that you are a man of foolishness. Because this is the body, is the temple of the Lord. You have to keep it protected. So that's why we wear the mask, we put all the protective device, because that is what is necessary for safety. It's a safety precaution. Praise the Lord. So we just have to do it, not because of the spirit of fear. Don't let the devil, and don't put your trust in it. That, oh, when I wear masks, nothing is going to happen. No, put your trust in the Lord. Some people are so afraid that if they are by themselves in their own car, they will still wear the mask. If they call by their own, say, mask, you are the one. If they live by themselves in the house, only one person in the house is still wearing masks everywhere in the house. That's not what we're talking about. But when it is necessary, do what is necessary. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. By decree the name of Jesus, the plague will be minus you. Yeah. This second wave will be minus your entire household. Yeah. There shall be no more death in your camp. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Furthermore, we understand scriptures that famine is synonymous with every generation in history. Just like there was famine in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. But God preserved them. So whatever negative thing that is coming up or going on in the land, there is a covenant of exemption. Shout hallelujah. Covenant people usually flourish in hard times. Look at Psalm 33, verse 13 to 19. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So it doesn't matter the negative situation, the waves of negative thing that the enemy is pumping into the world, the Lord will distinguish you in the name of Jesus. Now, how then can we exercise our exemption right? Very quickly, we look at five keys. Number one, have a revelation of your exemption right in Christ. Have that revelation. Because what you see is what you get. If you cannot see that you have this exemption right in Christ, the devil may take advantage of that and inflict you with sickness and disease. But that shall not be you in Jesus' name. Have that revelation. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. He says, even though there may be darkness and gross darkness, he said, the glory of the Lord will be upon you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through his knowledge, the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, not to shame and reproach, not to stagnation and sickness and death, but glory and virtue. Therefore, everything that looks like shame and reproach in your life is turned to glory and virtue this morning. So have a revelation of your exemption right. You continue to see that you are exempted. Never see sickness. Never see death. Never see destruction. Continue to see the provision for healing, health, and wholeness, and your right to live and not to die in Christ Jesus. Number two, keep the love of God alive in your heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The more you love God, the more you are exempted. The truth is, when you receive a call from your son's school and you get there and you're looking for your son, your mind will be on your son. If you see your neighbor's son, you just wave. If he's calling you, oh, daddy, so, just you stand there, okay, stand there. You want to go and get your son first. Yeah, because you love your son. So God loves you. You must know that God loves you. Then you must continue to do things that will keep you in that love of God. So keep the love of God alive in your heart. And number three, engage with the covenant of seed time and harvest. The truth is, what you make happen to others, God will make happen to you. So when you bless others, God will bless you. When you see someone that is sick and you minister to them, you minister healing to them, you get your anointing or you anoint them, God will make sure you are not sick. When you feed the poor, God will make sure that you are not hungry. When you take care of the homeless, God will make sure that you will never be homeless. Praise the Lord. So don't say, oh, until I bring them to church, when you have the capacity to do it. Praise the Lord. So whatever God has committed to your hand, make sure you reach out to others. That's how it works. When you provide for others, when you do things to others that they cannot do for themselves, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. It's the law. It's a universal law. Seed time and harvest. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And number four, remain dedicated to kingdom advancement and divorce. Remain dedicated. Please don't be discouraged. Don't let the enemy discourage you. Don't give up so soon. Don't claim that, oh, you've been praying from January, nothing has happened. It's just a strategy of the enemy to take you out. Don't complain about anything. Just do your part. It may look as if it's not working, but God is working something for you. Do you see any of this bulb that looks like it's stagnant or just fixed? It's vibrating. The frequency is moving at a very fast frequency, but because the frequency is so fast, you cannot see it. So that's the same way God is working, but you may not be able to see it physically. So don't let the devil discourage you. Remain dedicated to kingdom advancement. Serve God in your unit. Don't say, well, since the church is not open right now, when the church opens, that's when I will come to join the sanctuary. No! At least some people are still cleaning the church. Volunteer to come. I remember one lady then in Houston, Texas, after all this, and then we're doing three services. After the third service, while I'm still, you know, taking care of some things in the office, this lady will clean the whole church, the children's church, everything. And see how God was blessing her. She was not waiting for the sanctuary department or, you know, to call her or whatever. So look at what you can do for God. Keep on serving God. Keep on evangelizing. Keep on praying kingdom advancement prayers. And what to do in the secret, God will reward in the open. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's how you are exempted. When you are useful, believe me, when you are useful, let me just tell you how it works in the real sense of it. When you have a business and there is someone in that business that is very useful, I mean, before you call A, he already called Z. And I'm not talking about Amazon, A to Z, but you know. Before, I mean, very useful. You want to do something, he gets it done. You want to do this, he has gotten it done. You want to do this. If the person says, please, I want to leave, you will find a way to make sure he doesn't leave. True of us. But if you see someone that is so lazy, so mediocre, when he careless, when he says he wants to leave, you say, do you want to leave today or? You just find a way. In fact, you say, oh, it is well. You need to leave. Oh, you know, I've been thinking about it that, in fact, you need to go because your parent really needs you. When you go, say, thank you, Lord. Because it's not useful. It's not productive. But when you are useful, God will make sure he keeps you. That is why you must continue to serve him so that he can preserve you. He can keep you. And I decree in the name of Jesus, God will continue to remember your kingdom labor. And finally, speak openly of your exemption right. Don't be ashamed of it. When they are talking about how many people the pandemic has killed, don't join them to say it's true or it can still kill more people. Say, no, it can't kill more people. I cannot die. Try to put faith in somebody's life. Tell them that even you have God on your side. If you believe him, that might be an opportunity to also win somebody to you. When you begin to talk boldly, say, it's like you have something. Can you share with me? Maybe your grandfather gave you something you are putting in your pocket. Since I know all you Africans, you do voodoo a lot. I say, no. My own Africa, we don't do voodoo. My voodoo is in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, you are secured. Shout hallelujah. So by that you win someone for Christ. Don't be afraid of speaking it. There is power of life and death in the power of the tongue. And as you continue to speak it, God will continue to confirm it for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And as you begin to round up, some of the mysteries you can use for your exemption, the blood of Jesus. That's very powerful. On our prayer squad meeting, there is no Saturday that the blood is not ministered on that platform. And I love it because that's one power of exemption. There is power in the blood. Either the raw sprinkling of the blood or the blood of the communion or the declaration of the communion, there is exemption power in the blood. Then the name of Jesus, there is also an exemption. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of Jesus. Then the anointing, you place a seal upon your head. You are going out in the morning, place the seal of the oil upon your head. You want to sleep in the night, place the seal of the oil upon your head. You are divinely exempted. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Then we also have the angelic covering and we have the prophetic help. That is why I know in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil has lost the battle over your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. After this service, it will be good news for you. It will be testimony for you. Exemption over your children. Exemption over your husband. Exemption over your wife. Exemption over your business. Exemption over your immediate family. Exemption over your extended family. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree the name of Jesus will become a touch knob. As you go from one nation to another nation, it will suffer no man to do you wrong. In the mighty name of Jesus, the seal of exemption by this anointed word is being placed upon you this morning. When men say there's a casting down, you will say there's a lifting up. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, so shall it be. Lift up your voice and appreciate the Lord. Give him praise and give him glory. Celebrate him, magnify him. Begin to declare your exemption in thanksgiving this morning. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. And please be seated. Now, hear this. If you are not saved, if you are not saved, you are not saved in the world. If you are not in Christ, life will be full of crisis. If you are not redeemed, there will be condemnation. There will be harassment in the world. So the only thing that will save you, that will make you enjoy this covenant of exemption is Jesus Christ. It's not just coming to church. It's not being a member of a service group. It's having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anyone under the sound of my voice, in-house this morning or online, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to cross over from condemnation to exemption. I'd like to pray with you. Lift up your right hand. Whether you are in the sanctuary or in the house, on your PC, on your phone, say this prayer with me. You want to receive Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone who said the prayer in-house this morning and online. You said in your word, whoever comes to you will not cast them out. Jesus, write their name in the book of lives. Wash their sins away. Let them become your children. And let them begin to enjoy the covenant of exemption from today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel.